Katya Gordon, and we are interrupting your regularly scheduled programming to bring you our weekly interview with Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Hospital and Clinic, and his updates related to the COVID virus and everything associated with that. All right, Greg, thank you so much for calling in once again to KTWH.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's first talk a little bit about the modeling. There's so much information out there, and it can be confusing, and it's good to have people help us interpret it. So with all the models out there on what has happened and what's going to happen, what should we be paying attention to right now?
Yeah, the modeling is probably one of the most confusing discussion points around COVID for, I think, for healthcare leaders and communities in general. And I just recently read a report that came out of the University of Minnesota where they really break down three likely scenarios in the months and year ahead. I think this is maybe important. Again, we don't know the answers to this, but I think if we've heard for 2 or 3 months that there's this big surge coming, it's coming on this date, and that date kept getting pushed out further and further. And some people said, well, this, you know, is completely irrelevant, it's inaccurate, and other people think that those models are still reliable. There's really three different scenarios that I think that we're looking at now. And the first one is simply a model that shows peaks and valleys. And so what that means is that you'll see kind of an increase of cases in a specific area or region, and then, you know, that will kind of run its course and will drop back down again, and that will kind of come back up into the next peak and then drop into the next valley. And there's been some discussion statewide about when things tend to peak, I think people get, so some or more people get more concerned, start following those recommendations more closely, or
right,
limit social gatherings, and things kind of drop back down again, and then, you know, you don't see any cases in your area, so you think things are good, and people start doing more, and it kind of comes back up a little bit. So
yeah,
that's what I think we're kind of seeing across the state, and we're seeing those peaks come in places like meat processing and chicken processing and congregate care facilities versus the general public.
Yes, that's a model that definitely seems to be easy to see what's happening. It's relatively simple.
Yep. The second scenario is really still goes back to that one we've been hearing about for 2 or 3 months, is kind of this fall peak or this fall surge. That one is appearing less and less likely now. And what that one would show is that you'd have this doubling of cases, which we've talked about many, many times, where the cases continue to go up until we hit this surge. And the concern has always been, does that surge exceed hospital capacity? So, for example, are there more people needing care than Minnesota hospitals can provide beds for or ICU beds for? It feels like now that the curve has been flattened, so that likelihood is less of an issue. When you talk about a fall peak, the concern always has been, is there a second surge or a second wave? So you've got this kind of initial, you lock down, it drops back, and then people relax, you get the second peak, which was very similar to what happened in 1918 with the flu. And so again, that one, though, there's less and less talk about that, although some models are still predicting an October surge. And so I think, I guess I focus less on that than kind of the daily recommendations that we've been asked to follow and kind of preparing for that kind of peak and valley. Or the third scenario is really a slow burn.
Mm.
And what a slow burn is saying is that we're getting to kind of a threshold of cases across the state. It continues kind of just following that pattern over time. We don't see a large peak. We don't see large dips. And again, I think there's so much we just don't know yet. But again, that one is more of a predictable, a steady transmission of COVID that doesn't, again, spike or drop.
Huh. And is maybe less affected by events or by the things that we kind of control?
Correct. There's two points I would make around that. I've been reading, I continue to read 7 days a week of all these different sources and try to figure out how does this apply to our hospital and how does it apply to Lake County and our state. But there's two things I think that are interesting around that. We're getting to the point now that we're enough days out from the protests that happened throughout the Twin Cities and Duluth and other areas that we should be able to learn, did those large gatherings, whether people wore masks or not or follow precautions, what impact is that going to have on state numbers? We know, or we think, there have been a few people that have been participating in those protests that have now tested positive for COVID, but it's not widespread. So there's been no significant spike yet related to that.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is going to be is to determine, is it from those activities or just a general reopening that's been kind of happening over the last week or so. So I think that's one point. The other one that people have said, and this has been interesting, is we've heard for many months now that when we get to hot, humid, or warm weather, that COVID's going to kind of flatten out or drop off just like influenza does.
Mm.
And so I think all of us had had hoped that that would happen. But if you look at countries like Brazil, which is, you know, they've had very difficult weeks with COVID, India, South Africa, those are very hot, humid climates, and COVID has actually been spiking, and the death toll is just really significant and concerning. So I think we believe that that's less likely of an issue to kind of burn it out or slow it down.
Interesting. You know, one thing I've wondered around that, I don't know if you can even speak to this, but that sometimes in those hot countries, I think of people as mostly inside and air conditioning, whereas for us, when it's hot, we are more outside, and it seems like there are many indications that sun and fresh air is also killing to COVID. So I don't know. That's just kind of a speculative thought, I guess.
Maybe. It certainly appears that being outside, I think you're more likely to be spread out. There's less likely to have respiratory transmission outside just because of distance.
Right.
That seems to be a positive factor.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's talk a little more locally. Cook County has had its first case. Is there anything you would like to just share with us about that?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Cook County was one of two counties across Minnesota that had not had a positive case going into this week. And, you know, I do some work up with the hospital up in North Shore as part of my role. And what I've heard for months is, you know, Cook County was working really hard to remain COVID-free, and just like Lake County was for quite some time. And I think it's just unlikely that any county could do that. And so on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, Cook County Public Health released their first COVID case. And again, so they did all the same things that we did when they learned about that, is the tracking and working with MDH and really reminding people about those precautions. So, you know, I think as people are traveling more, you know, tourists coming into the area and people leaving the area and coming back, it's just, again, the risk just continues to increase as we have more and more cases. So I was not one bit surprised. I was surprised it took that long to have the first case.
Yeah, one case is not it's not the same as having a huge hot spot and multiple deaths happening all the time. It's just a natural spread, it seems, to some degree.
And you would hope that Cook County would have the same experience as Lake County did, where you had a case that the person, I would assume the person in Lake County isolated themselves, you know, followed precautions or recommendations, and it didn't spread to family and neighbors,
right,
at the grocery store. So I think that's very positive that it shows that we can have a case and we can control it to some degree.
Yes.
I think the concern now, our focus is around congregate care facilities. That's where the big risk is across the state and probably across the country.
Yeah, and certainly in our area where we have many seniors. Do you want to speak a little bit more to any specific precaution to that particular set of vulnerable people?
Yes, I think we're very fortunate here in Lake County to have a very strong public health team. I know our human services director and our public health supervisor and others are doing a great job of connecting with congregate care facilities up front before there's an issue. So I've got a call at 11 today with our Lake County partners, and you know, Lakeview's helping to support their efforts as far as testing and processing samples and all of that. But we're trying to take a proactive approach here of connecting up front, sharing resources, sharing recommendations, and hoping to minimize any impact there, because once there's an outbreak like we've seen in Duluth and across the state, those results are can be devastating to those facilities.
Yeah, well, this all sounds like good news, Greg. And then one more, I have a question from a listener about the fitness center, people that are eager to begin coming back for wellness-related functions. What's the news on that?
So as the listeners probably know, the governor's executive order released some restrictions on fitness centers effective Wednesday of this week. And so we had our leadership meeting this morning at 8, and we talked about our reopening plan for our fitness center both here in Two Harbors and also in Silver Bay. So in the coming week or weeks, we will be reopening with some modifications to how it looked before. So I'll just maybe talk through a few of those. The governor and MDH has put some restrictions on capacity. So really, we have to open up in a phased plan with 25% capacity and then slowly increasing over time. And so what we're going to do in both Two Harbors and Silver Bay is have people make appointments for time slots. So we'll post the hours, and we'll have people fill up those hours up to our cap, and we'll have that throughout the day. Again, the goal is you don't have 15 or 20 people show up at 7 o'clock in the morning, all putting their workout shoes on in the waiting room, all close together, and then working out close. So, you know, we'll look at that maybe 4 to 5 per hour that can use the space all spread out, and we'll slowly increase that responsibly. And again, we know that people need to get back exercising for physical and mental health, so that's going to be really important.
Yeah, good. Well, sounds like everything's moving forward as in a hopeful way, and I think that maybe that wraps up this week's news, unless you have something else.
Well, the only other thing I'd comment on is, you know, we're working really hard to try to get some of our community groups back into our organization.
Yeah.
We've had exercise groups and other groups that meet. One of the challenges we've had is, as you know, we're in the middle of getting toward the end of a large building project, and so we've been, you know, purchasing equipment and furniture and having all that. The challenge we have from a space standpoint is because of the surge planning that we did, we've got a number of hospital beds and portable ventilators, vitals machines. So we've got every square foot of our space filled with surge planning equipment. So it's creating some challenges in some of those public groups, which we continue to work hard to try to move that stuff and, again, be very cautious and responsible about opening and doing it safely.
Something I never would have thought of. So I'm glad you brought that up. Just this physical space for space.
Right.
And the hospital it looks different than it did 3 months ago, I guess. The physically different.
That's correct. And we still need that stuff, because if we do have, like we talked about on the models, if there is a fall peak, we're going to need that stuff. And if there isn't, you know, then we'll have to figure out more of a long-term storage plan.
Yeah.
This will be with us through the winter, so we'll need to keep the stuff here.
Yeah. Do you have any brief updates for us about the new addition?
Yeah, the new addition, we just had an owner meeting yesterday morning. Everything is still on schedule. It's on budget, which is great, and the crew is making great progress. We're looking now to be kind of wrapping up the majority of the work sometime in August with the new building and the clinic refresh. And we're actually now planning ribbon cutting ceremonies for mid-September. Again, we're trying to be really creative on how we can get the public through for tours without having large groups. My initial plan, I wanted to do a large community picnic where we grilled brats and burgers and invited the entire community over for lunch.
Tell me that. That sounds so fun.
We had all kinds of fun things, health fair and, you know, blood pressure screenings, but we can't do that from a numbers standpoint. So we're going to look at some small group tours by appointment, and we'll do probably a virtual tour of the space. It'll be on our website. And then, again, I would still love to do maybe a community picnic in the spring if COVID is behind us and we've got a vaccine and things are stable and we can do that safely.
Yeah, or maybe the one-year anniversary or something.
Right.
Well, that's fun to even think about. Well, thank you, Greg, for calling in, and we will talk to you next week.
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Clinic.